Okay. The Lord, we thank you for another fine day you've made for us. We thank you, Lord, for all this fine rain you've given us here. You cleansed the air for us. You watered the flowers and the grass and my lettuce out there in the garden, my onions. Lord, I thank you for that. Now I'm asking you to shut her down. We've had plenty. Thank you, Father, for all of that rain you've given. And Lord, we just ask and we pray that you be with us tonight. We thank you, Lord, for being with Donald Trump during all of this hoax, impeachment trial. And Lord, we ask and we pray that the swamp will be drained soon. And we thank you for it. Father, we ask that you put your warrior angel round about Mr. Trump, keep him from any harm. Thank you, Lord, for doing that, giving him wisdom to run his country like it was supposed to be him to have been run all along, where the outlaws got a hold of it. And Lord, we're once again trying to get free from all of that, at least for a little while. And Lord, we just praise you and glorify you for what you're doing, Mr. Trump, and that bunch of patriots that's behind him. And Lord, we thank you that tonight's going to be a great night because we're looking to you. We're looking to you for guidance. We're looking to you to lead us by your Holy Spirit. And Father, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that we have an open heaven tonight. I command every hindering spirit out of here in the name of Jesus. Every tormenting spirit, you go in Jesus' name. Any kind of spirit that might hinder us from praying and having an open heaven to you, we command them to go right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you that we do have an open heaven. And I praise you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for all that's going to be accomplished tonight in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Father. Okay. Anybody got a praise report? I'm sorry, prayer request. Yeah, go ahead, Missy. No? Okay, we'll get you in a minute. Okay, praise reports. Go ahead, Barry.
Yeah, this is a prayer request. You know, we're told in the scriptures in various places to pray for those in authority, the kings and other people in authority and things like that. And three people, there's lots more, but three people came to mind. Nancy Pelosi, Adam Schiff, and
Jerry Nadler.
Yeah, these three people, it's hard to pray for folks like that. It is for me anyway, after the display they put on and the games they've been playing. But we're still, regardless of what they do, that's why we need to pray for them.
Amen.
They're as lost as they can be. And we should not have unforgiveness toward those people, you know, the subject of the book we're reading right now. And so anyway, I'd like to pray for those folks. Father, I pray you bless the three people we talked about that are in the government who have strongly come against President Trump. And there's a lot more of them too, Father, and we it's easy for us to harbor unforgiveness toward people like this, but that's not what you called us to do. You called us to pray for these people and hope for them to be saved. And Father, I pray that you save them, get a hold of them, show them the error of their ways, show them the light. And Father, I pray you put it on their heart to pursue the light instead of darkness. And Father, I pray you bless them real good in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Sometimes, Lord, we have to be taken to a place to where we cry out to you. And, Lord, if you have to set them in a jail cell somewhere by themselves with nothing but your Bible, that'd be fine. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for granting repentance to Jerry Nadler, Adam Schiff, and Pelosi, Nancy Pelosi. Thank you, Lord, and all of their followers, too. In Jesus' name. Lord, they don't know what they're doing. They're run by demons. They're guided by their demonic minds. And Lord, I thank you for doing something for them. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, Missy.
I sent to my, I really follow the Lord to send my my sister last night's Bible study that David gave. And I just put the title of it in this, the subject of the email, and I just put the link for the audio, and then the link for the article that goes with it. And I just want to pray about that. I haven't heard anything from her, and well, that's all right. But Lord, I just I thank you, Lord, for just anointing that, just drawing my sister to listen and read that, and just build her faith, Lord. Build her faith and cause her to look in the scriptures and all. more than what David shares there, Lord, and that she would even go to some of the books that he leaves the links there for, Lord, and just especially the Real Good News, Lord. That would be an awesome one for her to go to just really build her faith, Lord. And I just thank you, Lord, for giving a revelation and knowledge and understanding in you, Lord. And I just thank you, Lord, that she's going to listen to it and that we will be able to talk about it, Lord. And she'll have questions or whatever, Lord. And I just thank you for giving me the wisdom and to know how to answer her, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for doing that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for anointing that broadcast here. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, George, go ahead, brother.
I want an agreement in prayer, and I want to take captive the thought that stage 4 lung cancer is greater than the blood or the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And I bless Rush Limbaugh. I thank you, Lord, for letting his star rise this week, and that a testimony of Jesus is coming out of all of this publicity, and that he's going to testify of God and the power of God and the love of God, and that all of his followers and all of his detractors and haters are going to have to hear the name of Jesus no matter what his outcome is. But I come against that cancer right now, and I curse it in the name of Jesus. I take authority over all of those, that just the thought and the repetition of that, the fear that comes out of that supposed death sentence, and I proclaim life to his body right now in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And Father, I thank you that our faith is greater than any death sentence, that you have the final word, and Jesus is King. Amen.
Amen. Lord, we just thank you that Rush is listening to people that have the real gospel, the true gospel, Lord, and that they would relate to him what the word says, that he doesn't have to accept that verdict that the doctors have laid on him. And Father, we just praise you and glorify you that this would just confound his enemies all across this land. And Father, we thank you for raising up this fine man. Lord, I know he hadn't followed you like he should, but I think he's gotten closer to you in these last 3 or 4 weeks, Lord, in a mighty way. And Father, I ask that you talk to him and show him what he says in your word, or send somebody there that does have knowledge. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that cancer's gone from his body. George prayed it. We believe it with him. And we count it all as done in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for doing that for Rush. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Everybody believe that? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. What is going on with this thing? President Trump is just can't leave me alone for right now. I don't know what the deal is with him. Yeah, Joe.
President Trump's messaged you?
Oh, all the time, man. This is wanting me to help him out.
There you go. There you go. Now, I'd like to give a testimony. Well, I actually did, I think, the other week ago, but I want to correct myself because, you know, I gave the testimony, I think it was last week, that it's been my whole adult life I battled unforgiveness. Actually, that's not true. You know, I guess the Lord kind of just put it on my heart, you know, I didn't think of it at the time. But it's been most of my life, you know, since I can even remember, preteen years, I've lived, you know, with unforgiveness. I mean, so you could say 75, probably to 80% of my life. And I just want to say thank you, Lord, for your mercy. You know, I just, this is the only ministry I've ever known of out there. I'm not saying there isn't any, but I, you know, all these years, I've never come in contact with one that helped me to understand the severity of unforgiveness. But, you know, just recently, you know, I really got some major deliverance in that area. And so, you know, the flesh, you know, still trying to pop its head up there. And I got to deal with that, of course. But, so I just wanted to say thank you, Lord, for just having mercy on me. And after all these years, I finally got delivered of it, you know. So wanted to correct that and just say it's been many years. But, yeah, thank you, Lord. You still have mercy, and, you know, you still deliver people. So.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Thank you, Father, for doing that for Joe. Praise you, Father, that you're going to take every remnant of unforgiveness, rejection, fear of rejection, all of that bitterness, anger, all of that from Joe, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for cleansing him up, getting him ready for this wonderful job that you have for him, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, anybody else? Yeah, Missy.
Well, I just wanted to say, I believe I shared on Tuesday that I had Michael pray for me, and today, you know, like each day I was you know, feeling significantly better, and today I just felt really good, best I've felt in quite a while. So just praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your healing.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Now we're going to ask him to work on your looks. No, I'm just kidding. And you know I got to gig you just a little bit, Missy. All right, anybody else?
That was low.
I know, Barbara. Thank you. All right, anybody else?
Don't love me so much, Michael.
I know. All right. Anybody else with a praise report or prayer request? Go ahead, Pat.
I got a question for Joe. Did you see something specific? Did the Lord show you something specific in your release regarding unforgiveness?
Well, the big one for me, you know, I think this last week and a half, and this actually kind of goes back to a message that David had back in 2017. You know, he kept talking about, you know, the idea of illegal thoughts, perceived, you know, wrongs, perceived offenses, you know, and as we know, like the spirits of offense, that's actually been generational in my family. And so, I mean, for many years, you know, I think what really stood out for me was just always feeling offended with people. So, you know, running those thoughts through my mind, just like, you know, this person did this, and then I might come in contact with somebody else who did something to me. So that's not even there, you know, I mean, and if it is, I know now what it is, and I've cast it, I've cast it down.
Amen.
But just that, yeah, just those nasty thoughts about people, just those, you know, that suspicion, all those kind of illegal thoughts. And then, you know, recently got some deliverance, you know, and just was like, wow, I don't feel that so much anymore. But I mean, if I do, now I know, hey, okay, this is wrong. I've got to control these things. You know, I've got to stand against them. So that was the big thing for me. And so, I mean, you know, as well, the anger and, you know, different things. But I think the thoughts have been the bulk, you know, that I can say right now. But I think, you know, yeah, once it's all cleaned up and gone, you know, there'll be more. But right now, that's kind of the big one for me. So.
Amen.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you, Joe. All right, anybody else? Yeah, Barry.
Yeah, I got a praise report early this morning. Casey came upstairs from the shower saying, oh, the plumbing's clogged up. And we worked and worked and worked and worked to try to get the plumbing unclogged, and, you know, with snakes and stuff like that. And no success. And I have something that is a water jet kind of thing that you put down the pipe. You have to use it in conjunction with a pressure washer, and it blasts the clog out of the way. And I don't have a pressure washer, so I had to go to, you know, 25 miles away to get a pressure washer, rent it, bring it back. And we had that thing unclogged in about like 2 minutes. It was unbelievable how well it worked. And I'm so thankful, because when you can't do laundry, when you can't take a shower, you can't flush the toilet, something has to happen pretty quick. You know, you want to get that fixed. So we're very, very, very thankful. The Lord showed us favor, and we were able to do that ourselves and saved a whole ton of money not to call on a plumber. So all praise goes to the Lord for making that happen and a good outcome.
Thank you, Lord. Man, it's always good when things go smooth with plumbing, ain't it? Amen. Okay, anybody else? Yeah, Leon, go ahead, brother.
Well, it's not really a testimony. I just have something I'd like you guys to know. You know, it's been raining here for a couple of days, and it's been raining pretty heavy. Well, Tim and Denny and I have been doing rebuilding a dock at a lake, and that lake is about, I don't know, it's probably 4 or 5 miles wide and 5 or 6 miles long. And the last time we got to work was Monday, and I'd say the water was at about 4 to 5, 4.5 to 5 feet below the dock, because we made a little ramp out to it, and we're standing on the ramp and doing some work on the side of the dock. So it was 4.5 to 5 feet. Well, today, the water was just below the dock. So we have had that much water that it filled that lake up all the way under the dock. And the lady that we're working for, she was concerned about all the lumber and stuff floating away before the water went in. So she was going to tie all the lumber down so it wouldn't wash away. That's an amazing amount of water in 3 days. So anyway, well, thank you, Lord, that she caught it in time.
Amen. Go ahead, Will. I guess that's Will. If it's not, let me know. WPDP.
Evening. How is everyone?
Oh, we're blessed, brother.
And then it's good. I just want to sort of share, and then I prepare a request for Paula and Dirk, actually. I don't know how long it's been since they've been on. A friend of mine, he decided to go to take his family to China a year and a half ago. So I think they worked there as teachers. I think in the last year and a half or so, a lot of South Africans have been seeking to go elsewhere in terms of, I think, greener pastures. I think there's three families that I know, or even maybe more, that's already immigrated or are seriously looking at it, or will be immigrating in the next 2 months. But they stayed in China they've been there for a year and a half already, and then I actually sent them a message asking them how they're doing, and apparently there's a virus there. I don't watch a lot of news, being on the farm. We don't have a television, so I don't watch a lot of news. So he said there's a virus, and all the schools are closed, and yeah, everyone's staying indoors. And he sounded very scared. I think he's got one girl. She's about between 1 and 5. I think she's 4 or 5. Her name is it's Kite in English, but it's Fleer in Afrikaans. It's a strange name, but it's quite beautiful in Afrikaans. And then his wife was also now pregnant. She's far along. And he was very scared about their current situation. And he asked us to pray for them. So we did that. I didn't do as much. I think my mom prayed a lot more for him than I did. I didn't have as much time. And I messaged him today and asked him how they were, and then he answered very quickly. So it was a bit strange, being that they are in a different time zone. But then he said they managed to come back to South Africa very quickly. And then I said, no, that was very wise thing to do. But then I managed to mention to him, you know what, our preacher, I said, our preacher, it's Duomini in Afrikaans. I said, our preacher warned us 2 years ago about the pestilence coming. I'll go through everything. I'll go through his archives. He records all his preachings. And I'll go through the things and I'll send you the one. 2 years ago, my mom and I worked through one that he warned us about, a coming pestilence and coming viruses. I'll send that through to you if you're interested. So he said, no, I'll definitely listen to it since he's now back home and safe. So I'll send it through to him today. So I just want to pray, ask everyone to pray and just pray for him that the door, I just want to pray for him. And also
is he in China now?
No, they managed to come back very quickly to South Africa. So he's back home.
Okay.
That was good. That he made. I think it was a wise decision to just sort of come back as soon as possible.
Yeah.
So what I basically want to pray for is that he'd listen to David's teachings and maybe it will draw him in. So he'll listen to the stuff, and it sort of opens a door, maybe.
Amen.
He's willing to listen to one, so I'm going to... Okay.
That last night's broadcast was, if I'm not mistaken, somebody help me out here. I didn't listen to it, but I've heard that it was all about what's going on over there and and some other ones that have been turned loose on the population. So you might listen to that before you send it to me, see if that seems anything better.
Okay, no, thank you. I'll listen to it. I'll try and forward both. Hopefully he listens to it. So I just want to quickly pray for them.
Okay.
Lord, I pray for Johan and his family that what's that scripture? God uses everything for our good, and that you'd use this situation for his good, and that he would listen to the teachings and be far more prepared the next time any trial comes over his, crosses his path or comes his way, and then that he'll be prepared and that you use this to sanctify them, Lord. That'll be very good if he sanctifies himself and his family for your coming, and that will be so beneficial if he starts listening to David's materials. Oh, it will be such a powerful weapon in his life, and he'll be able to do so much more for his family. So, oh Lord, I pray that you please help him and draw him closer. And also, I don't know if you are, Dirk and Paula is going through quite some rough things. Her mom asked me to please pray for them. Apparently, it's very tough exams that they're writing, if I can call it that. So I just want us to pray for them as well. Lord, I pray for Dirk and Paula that you would protect them now and give them the victory over this exam that they're writing, and that they'll walk out on the other side victorious and praiseful, and that it will draw them closer to you, Lord, and make them more like Jesus. We ask you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for everything that you're doing for us. We are so grateful, and help us to be what you want us to be. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. You know, what's your name? I'm sorry. Is it Will or Monroe?
My name is William. Yeah. No, I think Missy asked. Well, I think Missy also asked, what is the WPDP? So I figured it's sort of like a Bible code of my name and surname with a skip sequence of, I think, 4-7.
Okay. All right. Well, that's cool. Well, thank you, Will. Listen, yeah. Brent, hey, Joe, I think he keeps some sovereign gods over there. Joe, are you around? Yeah, you're up there. You might get with him and see if he can't get you a copy of that to send to him, a sovereign god. Joe, you got some sovereign gods over there?
Yes, we got Afrikaans and an English one. You can just send me his address. I'll send it to him.
I was sort of curious to find out where Joe is at, if I can say it like that, because I've seen him on quite a few times. I don't know where he's, what part of the country he's in.
He's in South Africa.
Centurion, Pretoria. Yeah, Pretoria Centurion.
Oh, well, okay. All right. No, that's good. We could that's good. Because I think previously we had like a session where everyone one sort of said where they're from, but I don't think Joe was on that evening.
Yeah, well, he might be able to send you one pretty quick. I don't know. Might ask him if y'all can.
Yeah, we can do that. That could be easy. Yeah.
Okay. So now, thank you, Michael. Thank you. Now I'll send you an email, and then I'll get his details from you.
Okay. All right. That's fine. Thank you. Okay, Lord, we just lift up, I think you said Dick and Paula, and Father, we just ask and we pray, Lord, that you supernaturally touch them and draw them closer to you. They're, even though they're back over here in South Africa, it's still kind of got some tests going on in this country also. But Lord, we just thank you for protecting all of your chosen there in South Africa. And we praise you for it, Father. And also in China, Lord, we prayed for revival to start there, because we've asked that the Christians get out and start praying for folks, and that the signs and wonders would follow them, Lord. And we just thank you, Lord, that we're going to see something going on here in a little while. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father, for what you're going to do. And all of your chosen, all across this land, all across the world, Father, that your Psalms 91 protection is on them. And give them the faith to believe that they don't have to worry about anything. As long as they draw close to you, Lord, you'll provide everything they need. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, thank you, Will. All right, anyone else?
Thank you.
What's that? All right, anybody else got anything they'd like to say or? Thank you, Lord. Help me, Jesus. Oh, my. All right. Somebody sent me something funny. Go ahead, Will.
Sorry for being back on so soon. But okay. I've got a few praise reports. Yeah, I've been quiet for a long time, so now I can speak a lot tonight.
There you go.
So bear with me. I've got a few praise reports. I think in the beginning of this, our summer season, it was very, very dry, and all the animals were really suffering, and it was very trying and very tough on everyone. And we asked for you guys to pray for rain, and it's rained so much. It's been, even my dad said, it's one of the best rains years he's seen in his life. So it was amazing. So I just want to thank the Lord for that. Everything is green and lush, and yeah, no, it's very nice. So I just want to praise and thank you for praying for us. And it was the dams. It's all over social media. The dams are overflowing, and everyone was delighted to see that. And also, I think Joe one time was asking for you everyone to pray about the temperature. It was extremely hot. I figured he was staying in a warmer part of the country. Centurion isn't actually that warm. And he said he had like a record high temperature. And then everyone prayed for better weather. And it was just amazing. This December and January was amazing, amazing weather. It was just so cool. It was like sort of England-like weather. You could actually survive. And I think in the past week it's been warm again. But other than that, it's been just been amazing. So, yeah, I just want to sort of praise the Lord for just for us being able to manipulate the weather like that through His grace is just something. It's really quite amazing, especially if you are all working outside and you're working on a farm, and you can just ask the Lord, please bring down the temperature today. And He really does. And it's just so amazing that we can govern the weather. That's awesomeness.
Amen. Let me ask you a question. What do you raise on your farm?
We are cattle farmers
beef cattle.
Some horses on the side, yeah. So the horses are more fun, but not as much. You can't make as much money off of them, but they are. Yeah. It's more fun, but cattle is better income, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's trying. It's been very trying crime wise. Cattle theft is a big issue in South Africa, and it makes it so difficult. But also, a lot of farmers have sort of stopped farming cattle altogether, being that the crime rate is very high, and it's been very trying on South African farmers. But for those that can endure, the prices are good now.
Yeah. Well, are you still having a problem with the government trying to take over?
I think the whole South African economy and the South African country is, I think that's a whole evening's discussion, because everyone, I remember you had two teachings out, there was two teachings out 2 years ago, one where it was Yugoslavia or something, and everyone had to sort of ask the Lord that they had to leave the country. It was a strange a teaching, and there was lots of trials, and a lot of them managed to, I don't know if you remember that, and a lot of them managed to get out in different ways.
Okay.
And then you had a different teaching about the Hebrides Islands. I don't know if you remember that one.
Oh, yeah.
Where,
revival.
The old ladies, and they were standing for the revival. So I guess I'm sort of like, Lord, is there a revival coming? Should we stand for that? Or should, is it time to hit the road? Because a lot of South Africans are running. So I'm sort of like, why did we get those two teachings? It's very strange. One is it's time to run. And another one is it's time to stand and fight for the country and sort of stand in faith, because if one person, what's if people called by my name, would fast and pray and turn from their wickedness, I will yield the land. And you said it takes one. So it's a very interesting time. I'm sort of asking the Lord, please reveal to me, is it time to run or time to stay and fight? But then there's also, David, there's now something on like social media. The lady, she spoke in Afrikaans, but she calls herself a Pastor Anita. But that was a bit alarming for me in the beginning. But then she had a message of the winter is coming. I think she believes in the tribulation. But we've got like a fall, is it fall, hey, in English, before the winter. We've got a fall period, which we as South Africans can extend if we start speaking right. And there's a few things that the Lord showed her that we must do to extend our fall period, to give us time to prepare for the tribulation. So that for me was on the money and sort of in line with what you guys are doing in America. I think you're extending your fall period with Trump to give everyone time to prepare for the tribulation. So maybe we can do that year. And you, I don't know about Joe, since seems to be on quite for some time, so I don't know what he knows. Well, it seems like you also seem to be quite positive about what's going to happen here. And it seems to be very encouraging. So, yeah, we're sort of puzzled as to what to do.
Well, just pray and ask the Lord. He'll let you know. Mm-hmm. I guarantee you.
Yeah, I remember David also saying that we have to get light. Get light. You don't know when the Lord will ask you to go somewhere.
Yeah, that's true. You never know.
And we're trying to get as light as we can, being that we're farmers. Right. I don't know how light that will be. All right.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because there's going to be people that may show up at your door, may show up at your house, and say, come on, let's go. Get your family together and let's go. And then the Lord will translate you out there. I don't know if that's what's going to happen to you, but I know that's going to happen to a lot of people. If there's danger, the Lord will swoop them out of there. I'll translate them out of there. He's already told us that. We've already experienced a little of that. So, praise God. The thing to do is get next to the Lord. Run after the Lord with all your heart. You do that, you don't have to worry about any of that stuff, because God will take care of you.
Yeah, no. Yeah, that's very good advice. I think that's very good advice. We'll take it. We'll take it. Thank
Amen.
You,
brother. Okay, brother. Okay. Anybody else? Thank you, Will, for sharing that. That's awesome. All right. Okay.
Oh, there's one last thing.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
No, that's okay.
Oh, yeah, no. Yeah, no, no. I just wanted to say it's Dirk, Dirk. D-I-R-K. Dirk, yeah.
Oh, Dirk. And okay. Paula. Dirk and Paula. Oh, yeah. Has he ever been on the outreach? The outreach? Or is that some? I believe he has.
Yeah, they've been on like I think a few months ago when I started coming on. It was just strange to see that they were also they've also just recently started, but I haven't seen them on for quite some time.
Yeah, it's been a while.
It's more difficult for us. We have to get up at get up very, very early to make it. And if you are working, for me, I'm sort of my own boss, so it's easier. But if you do work for a boss, it can be very difficult to stay up and then go straight to work. So maybe I think they are downloading the recordings.
Okay, awesome. That's awesome. Well, we'll be praying for him. We certainly will. Thank you. Paul,
I'll appreciate it, I'm sure.
Okay. Well, all right. Let's see. Pat, go ahead, brother.
William, I just wanted to ask you a question. What are the names of the first couple that you mentioned before Dirk and Paula? They were the ones that came back from China. What were their names?
Their names is Johan. It's John. It's an Afrikaans version of John, and his wife's name is Becky. Becky, and she's far along apparently. She's about to deliver soon. So I think I'm very thankful that he decided to just get out of the country for now, out of China.
Okay.
But South Africans are really trying to escape the country, I think, anywhere they can find a place.
Okay, thank you. I just wanted to know what their names were. Father, would just ask that you would bless Johan and Becky, that you would open up their eyes to the full truth that you've been revealing today, in these later days. Lord, we just ask you to give them grace, give them desire, strengthen their heart to look to the scripture, Lord. As William is talking, my thoughts were that it's certainly going to be like what they're experiencing there in South Africa. It's going to be all over the world in a short amount of time. And Lord, we just thank you that you have provided us with every promise, every word, every promise that we need to get through, to get to you, to find ourselves in that secret place of the Most High, being under your wing, protected, safe, and secure in this time that's coming. And Lord, give us wisdom to share and faith to walk in the reality of your life within us, to spring up in faith and draw all those around us that you've given us around us to touch, Lord, with your spirit. We just thank you for that. Thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for the blessings that you are pouring out on us, Lord, in this day. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord, and give us guidance, give us strength. Thank you for the guidance that we've been receiving through David, through the various dreams and visions that you've provided, Lord. We thank you that you have not left us comfortless, but given us the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth and through this process. Lord, we thank you that there is this time. You have raised us all up for such a time as this, Lord. And just give us grace to respond to your Spirit in this time. We praise you. We thank you, Lord. We just pray a hedge around Joe B down there, and William, and Johan, and Becky, and Dirk, and Paula. We just pray a hedge, a protection around them, and strength of your Spirit. Lord, send revival there. Revive their hearts to strengthen themselves, to strengthen themselves in your word, in the promises that you've given us, Lord, that we may enter into your life with all your strength, all your life, all the benefits of walking with you. We thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for your Spirit. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for your life. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Okay. Go ahead, Greg. I'll get you in a minute, Denny.
Coming through okay?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Give a thumbs up if you can hear me. I just had a phone call and there's been a few calls. Look, it's morning for me. So from a friend named April who's in Tennessee, and I may have raised her in here before. April has had, well, April has had a whole heap of circumstances that have been going on for, well, pretty much all her life, that things have been difficult. And things are just starting to get better for her. She's got a fairly good job, which will get her out of, you know, she's her parents or adoptive parents. It's a very difficult situation for her. And anyway, things have turned around in the past few months. It's been a matter of degrees. And, you know, this job worked out. It's a good employer. And the money's reasonable. And she's been able to get a place of her own, which she should have as of tomorrow. Now, as I say, with April, there's always been circumstances that come along and just whack her or, you know, or around her. And she, a couple of weeks ago, her cousin, this is somewhat close to her family, was killed in a police chase. And the family had to bury him. And he's buried on the property in Tennessee anyway. And then yesterday, her brother had a heart attack and was whisked to hospitals, matter of fact, a number of hospitals, was given some medication for that. And that medication caused his brain to have a bleed. They tried to do something about that. And anyway, long story short, he passed away a few hours ago. And this is going to be hit the family pretty hard. On top of that, I just had a phone call from her and her daughter's, well, I'll say partner, her granddaughter's father. And her daughter is living with her at the moment. So there's been a few brief, but he has just committed suicide as well. For April, it's just like when she starts getting ahead on offer, so the car she has, the brakes just gave out. And that's, you know, she's driving 2.5 hours to work. That's one reason why it's good for getting her own place. Things just, when things start to move ahead, there's hits that come. And I'm somewhat familiar with that a little bit myself, but it's happened dreadfully these last, you know, 12 hours, I suppose. So I just sort of, you know, speaking to her just a few moments ago, she called me and let me know about her granddaughter's father. And I'm just like gobsmacked. But I just wanted to, I said, can I lift her up in prayer in here? And she said, yes, of course.
Now, did you say that she lived in Tennessee or she lived down there with you?
In Tennessee.
Tennessee?
She's in Tennessee.
Okay.
I've never actually physically met her.
Yeah. Okay. Well, do you want us to pray for her? You want us to pray for April? Is she a Christian?
Yes, please.
Is she a Christian? Yeah, okay. Lord, we lift up April to you. Lord, you know what's going on there. We just praise you for it, Father. Looks like you're trying to get people's attention. I don't know what's going on. But right now, we break the power of Satan over that family in Jesus' name. We command Satan to back off. And we ask, Lord, that you intervene here. Grant repentance to whoever needs to be granted repentance. We break the curse off this family right now. And we thank you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would draw them to you, Lord. I ask and I pray that you'd put a boldness in April right now to speak the word of God to those in her family that don't know you. Place a boldness in her that she wouldn't understand, but she'll do it anyway because she knows it's you. And Father, I thank you for that. I ask and I pray, Lord, that you would have those scriptures come up before like a neon sign that she needs, like all things work together for those who love the Lord, works together for the good to those who love the Lord. And I thank you, Father, that whatever it is that she's going through, it's to mature her and to get her where you want her, Lord. And I praise you for that. Lord, I ask that you open up her spiritual eyes to see and her spiritual ears to hear the things that you have for her, Lord. That she would be guided by that inner spirit, that Holy Spirit that's inside of her. And Lord, I thank you for that. I know she sounds like she's going through a lot, Lord. And I ask, Father, that you back off and allow her a little room to think, give her some peace in her heart about what's going on. I don't know what's going on. But I thank you, Lord, that you're going to bring April out of all of these things that's happened to her. And if there's any witchcraft going on, we break it right now in Jesus' name and send it back to where it came from. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that she's going to come out of this a more mature Christian, a more warrior type Christian, that she'd be praying and praying in the Spirit. I don't know if she's baptized in the Holy Spirit. If she's not, Lord, I ask that you do that for her, that you would place it in her heart to want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. That's the overcoming power that you've given us, Father. And I thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Now, if somebody else wants to pray, go right ahead.
Well, it's a trivial thing, but also I want to pray that you would take care of the brakes on the car.
Amen.
And that the moves to having your own place would not in any way be interfered. That April could reestablish herself. Lord, I won't go and explain the circumstances, but you understand far more than I do.
Did you say the brakes on the car?
Yeah, it's another thing, you know, they've given out.
Okay. Well, in the name of Jesus right now, we command those brakes on that car to operate and be just like new ones in Jesus' name. And any other thing that's wrong with that car, we command it to be healed in Jesus' name. We command that car to take her where she needs to go safely anytime she needs to go in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, that you're giving her faith to believe that it's already done. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for providing for April. Thank you, Lord, for delivering April. Thank you, Lord, for healing April. And we just praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. And Lord, I ask that you place joy in her heart, peace in her heart, and rest in her heart, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise you, Father. Everybody believe that? Thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing for April. Glory, hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that she's going to see sunshine once again. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Ooh, my. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. I just praise you, Father, for what you're doing in April right now, Lord. Putting a smile back on her face and a skip in her walk when she walks down the street. Father, we just praise you for it because she knows that you're taking care of her, Lord. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that surrounds her right now and envelops her with the love of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Glory. Hallelujah. My. Praise you, Father. Glory. Hallelujah. All right. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, Joe.
I want to lift up a coworker. I just heard today, actually, and so it's he's not one to miss work. He's a hard worker. He shows up all the time, and so I thought I remember saying yesterday, I was like, his name is Nate, first of all, and I remember saying it yesterday to somebody. I said it's not like Nate to miss work. You know, I hope it's not something serious. You know, because I thought, yeah, he always shows up to work. And he actually knows some of my cousins, some of my cousins on my dad's side of the family. So, I mean, he knows some of my family, but I've never really talked to him about the Lord. I've never really had those, felt led to, those opportunities, but I found out today and I looked it up on the online, his cousin, I believe, She actually was, you know, she was murdered last night. I think it was last night or the night before. And like I said, I was like, I hope nothing major, you know, happened, but I found out it was. So I want to lift him up in prayer, him and his family, you know, for, you know, from this traumatic experience here. So yeah, just going to agree with me, everybody. So Father, I just come to you and I lift up Nate. I thank you for bringing him in my life, Lord. Thank you for just, you know, the little time we've talked from time to time, Lord, I just, you know, I just thank you for him in general, Lord God. I thank you for all that you're doing in his life. And, it, you know, just like I see with many out there, Lord, tragedy has struck in their lives, you know, whether it's the loss of a loved one in this instance, or just great, great troubles. Lord, you know, you are really starting to get people's attention. So I pray through this recent loss of life, this tragic loss of life, the police are still investigating it. They don't know the details of why, you know, two men here. It was two young men in their early 20s took the life of a young lady, I believe. And so, I mean, we don't, yeah, no one really knows the details. One of them confessed to the murder, and that's all they really know. You know, so Lord, we pray for whatever happened here, that you would use this tragedy, you know, not just in the Nate's family and Nate and, you know, his friends and loved ones around him who were affected by this, but even the young men's lives, Lord, let that time in jail, Lord, you know, they say they'll be there for life if convicted, you know, that you would meet them in their jail cells, most of all, Lord, you'd bring them to repentance. You know, just, I mean, yeah, if it takes a just, you know, being in a jail cell by themselves or with somebody else, you know, put them in there with the believers, Lord, that, you know, that would just speak to them daily. That would pray for them. That would just minister to them, Lord, these two men. You know, we thank you for their salvation. I just declare, Lord, that they're going to be two individuals that, you know, will come into your kingdom in the future. And, you know, I pray as well for Nate and his family, that through this tragedy, you would begin to just, you know, be real in their lives. You know, I don't know where they are salvation-wise. I don't even know if they are saved. You know, so I ask that, you know, that this would begin to cause them to consider life, consider what's important in life. You know, consider, okay, why am I here? You know, what am I doing on this earth? What is my purpose? So, Lord, I ask they begin to ask those questions to themselves, you know, and even to one another, that they would eventually find out that, you know, of you, Jesus, and what you did for them, you know, so that one day they could meet you and live with you for all eternity in heaven if they endure. So, Lord, I ask that they begin to just, if they haven't already begun this process towards salvation or this road, that through this tragedy, you would put them all, Lord, on this road towards salvation. Because, I mean, this is just, okay, this is one tragedy, and there's going to be many more, but, Lord, but I pray that this is that thing that puts them on the road towards salvation, Lord, that you would get their attention, and they would finally stop and consider, okay, what's going on here? So, thank you, Lord, for the work you're doing here. Lord, help me to be a better witness to Nate. You know, I know you've used him to come against my flesh. Thank you for that. And so I just ask that, you know, you would strengthen me in this area. Help me to be a blessing to him. Give me opportunities to speak about my faith and just even say a word of encouragement to him, you know, and that I'm praying for him or whatever. So I thank you for that, Lord. And I thank you for what you're doing here in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Yes, Lord. And I lift up the victim's family too. I ask that you do a mighty work in them, draw them closer to you, Father. If they're part of your family, if they're not, Lord, I ask that you grant repentance to them. That this tragedy open up their hearts to you, Lord. And I thank you for it, Jesus. Amen. All right. Yeah. All right, anybody else? Denny, go ahead, brother.
Yeah, I have a request, and Debbie has something. Our daughter Victory's vehicle went out a few days back, and now she's already junked it. I guess the engine was shot, so she needs a vehicle. So we just we told her to pray and ask the Lord that he will provide. So we do. We ask you to provide for Victory a vehicle, Lord Jesus, and without any car payments. Just have someone put it on their heart to give her a vehicle, Lord, and just we can ask you to do that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I know in ourselves, we that the last I think it's 12 vehicles had been given to us when we prayed and God just came through. First one happened. We had a vehicle going out and we prayed and just said, Lord, just provide a vehicle for us. And we didn't know what was going to happen. And it was getting close to winter time and work was low. So we didn't. So we said, Lord, just give us a vehicle without any payments. And someone from a sister church called a woman and said, hey, I just bought a new car and I got this. My old one was really pretty good. You know, didn't want to trade it in, so I just thought I'd give it to someone. And every time I pray, I kept seeing your guys' face. So, do you do the vehicle? He said, yeah, we do. We just got them. We've been praying for one. But boy, that started a string of every time we have a vehicle goes out, we just pray and God provides it. Someone will, you know, call. It's amazing. So, we're praying for that, for victory, that God will just bless her with a vehicle. So, we thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. That's the best way to get them, ain't it?
Yeah, amen.
Go ahead, baby.
And I wanted to share about, I shared the last Wednesday's David's video with, pass it on to all our children, our seven, and my six siblings, too. So, I just want to pray for all of us who share this with people, family, that I wanted to pray for everybody. So, Lord, I do. I just thank you, God, for the opportunity that we have to do this, Lord. And now we just pray, God, that you would just open up the hearts, Father, of our family members that read and listen to what we share with them, Father. All of us here, Lord, and others, God, that want to reach their family, Father, and warn them, Lord. Just thank you for the... just thank you, God, that you're going to do wonderful work. You'll open their hearts, Lord, to receive. And I pray that even if it sits there for a while, God, you just get them to be listening to it and to others that are sent them to, Father. So I pray for our kids, God, that you'll open their hearts to receive. And my brother and my sisters, that they too will take heart, Lord God. And pray for the fear of the Lord to come upon them in these as they listen, God, they realize that they need to be right with you, Father. And there is a remedy, Lord. We just thank you for that, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Okay. Somebody else raised their hand. I think it's... Who was that? Okay. Anybody else? All right. I guess we can go into the curse of unforgiveness. We're on page 84, I'm thinking. That's what I got marked. Starting out at 1 Samuel 25:14, I believe. Okay. Okay, let me begin. 1 Samuel 25:14. But one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to salute our master, and he railed at them. You know what it is to rail at somebody? God tells us to separate ourselves from those who rail. 1 Corinthians 5:11. But as it is, I wrote unto you not to keep company, if any man that is named a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a reviler. And that's the Greek word blasphemio, from which the English blaspheme is derived. Or a drunkard or an extortioner. And some people think that you can blaspheme only against God, but that's not true. The word blaspheme just means to speak against. That's what blaspheme means, speak against. And you can speak against God, but you can also speak against men. In the New Testament, blasphemio is most often translated as railing when it refers to speaking against men, and blaspheming when it refers to speaking against God, although there really is no difference. You can speak against God and you can speak against men. So Nabal railed at them, and that was a separation offense. And if you have someone in your church who rails at people, in other words, all they want to do is speak against other people, most often behind their back, then you need to separate from that person, because a little leaven leavens the whole lump, and that evil spirit will get into you. You'll listen to that, and then you'll start speaking against people too. You don't want to listen to that. You need to put that person out. You need to separate from that person. And if your church won't separate from that person, then you separate from that person, because that's what's commanded in 1 Corinthians 5:11. It's just like the sin of fornication or the sin of drunkenness, which nowadays can be drug addiction or any other willful sin. We're commanded to separate from that person. However, if anybody comes to your church and wants deliverance from these things, you're supposed to help them in every way you possibly can. You're supposed to be a vessel through whom God can deliver them. But if they're justifying their sins and they're continuing on in them, yet they want you to forgive them so they can defile the whole church, you can't forgive them. And I'm talking about governmental unforgiveness, but not forgiving them for the kingdom of God. There's a difference. And you have to separate personal forgiveness from governmental unforgiveness. You have to forgive them personally, but you cannot forgive them for the kingdom of God, because we don't want the body defiled by a bunch of immoral sinners. Now, I'm going to stop there and ask if anybody's got any questions. Is that pretty plain to everybody? Okay. All right, well, we'll go on here. 1 Samuel 25:14. But one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, "Behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to salute our master, and he railed at him. But the men were very good unto us, and we were not hurt, neither missed we anything, as long as we went with them when we were in the fields. And they were a wall unto us, both by night and by day, all the while we were with him, keeping the sheep. Now, therefore, know and consider what thou wilt do." Now, he's still speaking to Nabal's wife, Abigail, whom the Bible says was a woman of good understanding. "For evil is determined against our master and against all his house, for he is such a worthless fellow that one can't speak to him." Well, we see his own servants didn't respect Nabal either, because he was evil. And as we read on, we see that his wife also didn't respect him because he was evil. And he rewarded evil for good. You know, that's something that we find harder to take than a lot of things. When we treat somebody kindly, and we do them good, and we bend over backwards to help them, and we pray for them, and we take care of them, we find it hard to stomach when they repay us with evil. Yet the Lord tells us to go to our cross and to turn the other cheek and to love our enemy and to do them good. We are to overcome evil with good. We saw when David did that to old hardened warrior Saul. And it convicted Saul so strongly that Saul started crying. He was hardened in his sins too, but he started crying. What David was doing was overcoming evil with good. Is there any question or any comments? Okay. So Abigail's listening to the bad report here, and she figures out David's coming to get us. 1 Samuel 25:18. Then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves and 2 bottles of wine and 5 sheep ready dressed, 5 measures of parched grain and 100 clusters of raisins and 200 cakes of figs and laid them on asses. And she said unto her young men, go on before me. Behold, I'll come after you. But she told not her husband, Nabal. And it was so as she rode on her ass and came down by the covert of the mountain, that behold, David and his men came down toward her, and she met them. Now David had said, surely in vain have I kept all that this fellow hath in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that pertained unto him, and he hath returned me evil for good. Now David was wrong there. You don't do anything that is right in vain, but the devil was attacking his mind. He wasn't thinking straight, and he was going to go and retaliate. Anything you do that is right, you do it unto the Lord. The Lord's watching, and he will reward you. Men may not, but he will. 1 Samuel 25:22. God do so unto the enemies of David, and more also, if I leave of all that pertain to him by morning, so much as one man child. Then David had been overcome by this situation. He's going to wipe out Nabal. Yet he had said to Saul, the Lord judge between me and thee, and the Lord avenge me of thee, but my hand shall not be upon thee. And that's what he wanted to do. He wanted to go take Nabal's head off and everybody in his household, and his dog and cat and roosters and everything else, didn't he? So we'll go on here. David also wrote in Psalms 35:11, unrighteous witnesses rise up. They ask me of things that I know not. And of course, Nabal was an unrighteous witness of David. He had slandered him, criticized him, and he was wrong about David. Psalms 35:12. They reward me evil for good to the bereaving of my soul. And it does bereave your soul when they do that. Psalms 35:13. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I afflicted my soul with fasting, and my prayer returned unto mine own bosom. Notice that. He fasted and prayed for these people, but his prayer returned unto his own bosom. In other words, God blessed him for praying for his enemy, but it didn't seem to do the enemies any good, because the enemies were returning evil for good. Proverbs 17:13, whoso rewards evil for good, evil shall not depart from his house. How can God bless somebody like that? But God likes that you obey Jesus, who said to pray for your enemies. And that shows that your heart's right. Now, the person you're praying for may not deserve it, may not receive it. But if your heart's right, God will bless you. And he's telling you to do this. So beseech God and ask him to bless your enemies. All right, I'll stop and ask if anybody's got any questions about that or any comments. That's a hard thing for us to do at times, isn't it? When somebody really comes against you and does that to you, is to bless the enemies. But that's what he tells us to do. It's hard for us in the natural sense to bless, like, who was it prayed a while ago for the Democrats, for the House manager, that was Pat, wasn't it? And that's hard for us to do when we know what they've done in the past. But that's what he's commanded us to do. So when we do that, guess what? God's going to handle it. He'll handle it. He'll drain the swamp. Praise God. Okay, go ahead. Was that you, Pat, that wanted to say something, or Dave, or somebody?
Yeah, I was thinking, you mentioned something about separating from these these people. When I'm thinking of Nabal there, obviously, if Nabal was in the church, it wouldn't take you long naturally to separate from the guy, since he was such a worthless fellow. But it was a little bit difficult for Abigail or his servants to separate from him. And so, I look at the curse. Obviously, we've all read the rest of this story, and I know we're focusing on David's response and David's action with Nabal and this the conditions that happened there and how he responded or was not going to respond. But what I'm thinking, I guess I'm just thinking of how was I forgot her name already. What was his wife's name?
Abigail.
Yes, I'm sorry. How did Abigail respond to Nabal in this situation? She knew in her heart, she knew that he was a worthless fellow, as the servants are saying. And I don't know if I, there's something there in giving respect or giving honor to someone, even though they don't deserve it, so to speak. And it just seems like there's the Lord always seems to put us in situations like Abigail, where we're underneath a somebody or a worthless fellow that happens to be our boss or whatever the thing would be, and we have to learn humility and learn to respond to that individual in a way that honors God. And so I think Abigail's about to do the thing that gets me here is that she took the food and everything, and she basically went out and saved the household, because she knew that David was going to come down and clean house, so to speak, and she saved the household with that intercession. But then I'll just be quiet, and we'll, I guess, find out how that all shook out in the end, because it didn't work out really well initially for her in that situation. But anyway, I'll just shut up. I guess I was focusing on the relationship and the situation of Abigail and Nabal there, and how she responds, but that was all I wanted to say.
She was a submissive wife, wasn't she? Go ahead, Andrew.
You know, I was just kind of wondering if there might be some sort of parallel there for our time right now. Because, you know, she did save the people, and they were people of Israel, covenant people. Nabal was a covenant person, was he not? But he just had a lot of problems here, and he was kind of a leader. So I'm just kind of wondering if there's some sort of parallel there for what might be actually happening in the very near future here. And we're going to need someone to... you know, I don't really know who cleans house, but David seems to be like the king, you know, and he wants a clean house, you know, he wants things right, but there seems to be mercy there too, so, but we all know Nabal was taken care of, so I'm just thinking about this, that's all I'm saying. I can't really think.
That's interesting you brought that up, Andrew.
It just came to me when Pat was speaking, actually. And I was going, well, wait a minute.
You're talking about like a parallel with the government or something like that?
Well, even a parallel with the deep state that might be in the church, because these are all covenant people. Eh? Some leader here has to be taken out, maybe.
Well, I think I think that's going to happen. I think we're going to see the Lord do it.
Yeah, yeah. And in this case, the Lord would do it. Yeah, because David.
He can do that. Out.
Yeah,
he David can take him out. No, he didn't. It was the Lord that took Nabal out. And gosh. If you think back, I think we talked a little bit about it last time, about Paul and Silas in the jail. You know, that earthquake was right there. And I talked about it on the Bible study too. That jail was the only place that was hit as far as earthquakes go. It says in the Bible, there was nothing, no mention of any houses or anything else that was hit. Why couldn't he do that? We had dreams of the capital going down. Nobody got out that God didn't want out too. That was the dream or vision or whatever it was. So, yeah, I don't know why God couldn't do that. He could do anything. We had Debbie had a word from the Lord. And he said, try me, try me, try me. In other words, he was telling us, try him anything. Don't put him in a box. Just ask him to do whatever he needs to do, you know. And that's I don't see why he couldn't drain the swamp where he'd get the glory and not Trump. That'd be awesome. That'd be awesome. So I agree with you. That could happen.
I'm thinking about the parallel, if you think about it, Abigail went out and interceded for the family, for the household, and she saved, or she interceded and preserved the king. Mm-hmm. From doing something that he would regret later, that would come up and embarrass him later. And when she then went back to tell her husband what she did, his heart turned to stone and God smote him. And then later on, Abigail... David, when he came into the kingdom, he sent for Abigail and brought her into the house, into the kingdom. So it's almost like the man-child bride scenario to a certain degree. There's that kind of that image I'm thinking of.
Yeah, absolutely. She was added to the harem. No, I'm not saying that, I don't. But yeah, she got promoted. All right, anybody else?
Yeah, it talks about Matthew that two, it says two men, it could be two, anybody. Two will be in the field, one will be taken, one will be left. Two women be grinding at the mill, one will be taken, one will be left. So, you know, you'll be, that your fruit's going to determine whether or not you're taken or left. And of course we see that Nabal's fruit, he wasn't chosen, but Abigail was. And she, like you see our guys are saying, she interceded for her household. And Nabal was supposed to represent or be part of that. And what he was doing was the way he was bringing destruction on the household.
Yep, he was. He was being, he was railing, wasn't he? He was factious. And that's what the Lord said to separate from them. Go ahead, Pat.
You know, I was just thinking about her example too. The Lord teaches, you know, us humility and submission to authority. Probably the first, I'm sure it was the same with you, but that was some of the first lessons that the Lord took me through when I became a Christian. And because if you can't submit to, you can't receive teaching, input, or whatever, you can't be led. But anyway, I was thinking that, wonder why I just lost my train of thought. okay, it's gonna come to me in a minute. I'll bring it up later.
Okay.
All right. Sorry.
Lord, we thank you for your memory for all of us in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Okay, anybody else? All right. Did you have something, Andrew? Okay. David says, I remember there were two people in this assembly some time ago whom I had faithfully served for many years. I had asked nothing for doing that. My reward was that I was meeting their spiritual needs. Well, the woman had a problem. She had a Jezebel spirit, and she wouldn't repent of it. But the husband had a problem too. He had an Ahab spirit, and he couldn't hear the Lord because he was going to obey his wife instead, even though she was running him ragged. When his wife was out of town, however, he was a totally different person. And I loved to see him when he wasn't under her thumb. He was totally different, but he wasn't free. He was in bondage. Anyway, for years, this woman kept receiving dreams about herself. Some of them were really powerful, and they were rebuking her. She would have dreams that her hair was black when in reality it was red. Hair in type represents submission, 1 Corinthians 11. And God uses the black hair on somebody who doesn't normally have black hair as a sign that this person is submitted to darkness. She was submitted to evil spirits, and she was ruling over her husband by leading him. And he was unable to hear and follow the Lord and lead her as the Bible commands. She eventually stopped bringing her dreams to me because I was interpreting them as correcting her, and she didn't want to be corrected anymore. And she was becoming a little upset about it. One day I asked her if she was getting dreams anymore, and she said, yes, but I'm interpreting them myself. I said, oh, okay, no problem. But she and her husband decided they were going to come against me. I wasn't correcting her out of bounds. Mostly I was just interpreting her dreams, and I thought, okay, Lord, you are correcting her, and I don't have to correct her because you are correcting her. And the Lord was. In fact, if she had taken her dreams to anyone else, I'm certain that she would have received the same interpretation. And when they began to rail against me, I just prayed for them. I asked the Lord to help them, to deliver them, to set them free. Well, the Lord didn't hear my prayer because when they started to rail, the Lord made them both sick. She was sick for a solid month and couldn't even go to work. He was sick at the same for 6 weeks and couldn't go to work either. I was praying for them. They asked for me to pray for them, and I prayed for them. They didn't repent of what they had done to me, and I wasn't demanding for them to repent of that, but they asked me to pray, so I prayed for them. However, the Lord wasn't hearing my prayer. He wanted me to forgive them to the extent that I would pray for them, but he wasn't hearing my prayer. He was giving them a good spanking. Then after they recovered from being sick, they just kept on with their railing against me. She was in a car wreck that totaled her car and crushed her foot, and it was God correcting them. The Lord wants you to forgive to the extent that you won't have any problem praying for somebody who repays you with evil for good. He wants you to love them and wants the best for them. When Paul turned the man who had his father's wife over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, so that his spirit would be saved in the day of the Lord, that's in 1 Corinthians 5:5, he did that because he loved that man. He wanted this man to be saved. And if you don't chasten a child, you'll destroy him. Proverbs 19:18. Chasten thy son, seeing there is hope, and set not thy heart on his destruction. Well, you can't take a sick or stick and whip somebody in the church who's in need of chastening, but that's what the devil does. You can turn them over to the devil. And I'm not recommending this be done outside of God's direction, because only God can judge. And if he leads an elder to do this, it will work when nothing else will work. You can be kind to this person. It won't help. You can accept them in your assembly and forgive them. It won't help. They're going to have to go through a chastening. And when the Lord leads you to exercise authority, as Paul did, 1 Timothy 1:20, 1 Corinthians 5:5, and it is the Lord who is doing the judging and not you, turning them over to the devil will work better than anything else out there. That's because these people need to know that an elder has authority. And at the Lord's instruction, I turned one woman who was taking serious advantage of people in the church over to the devil. The demons jumped on her, and when she became deathly ill, she cried out to the Lord. She couldn't get out of her bed and was lying in her own waste and vomit, just crying out to God to save her. And the Lord told her, "You sinned, and you've been turned over to the devil." Then she called me on the phone. She said, "David, I have been so sick I can't get out of bed, and the Lord said that I've been turned over to the devil." And I answered, "Yeah, that's right. You've been turned over to the devil, and you have to repent. The Lord told me to turn you over to the devil, and you have to repent." And so she cried out to the Lord, "Lord, if you just take this off of me, I will go and confess my sins that I have done to the whole assembly." And sure enough, she came into our assembly, and she confessed her sins and the things she was doing against other people. But listen to this. She went straight back home, and as soon as she arrived, this sickness fell on her again. She went right back in her bed, and she cried, "Lord, Lord, I did what you told me to do. I went and confessed my sins." And she called me up again and said, "David, I did what the Lord told me to do, and when I came back home, I got sick again." I said, "Well, yeah, you did. You came and you confessed your sins, and that's good. I believe we should forgive you and command you to be healed." And I did. I commanded the demons to loose her, that she would be healed, and she was. You see, what she needed was respect for elders. She had no respect for elders or men in authority. And the Lord made sure that she understood that a real elder is not helpless when you are defiling the body. When you're offending people, when you're bringing a curse on the body, an elder has authority. Jesus said in Luke 10:19, "Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you." Do you see that? We have authority over the devil's power. We knew Elymas, the sorcerer, was smitten blind when the apostles spoke in Acts 13. And Ananias and Sapphira fell dead when the apostles spoke in Acts 5. Because the apostles had authority to speak for God. You can't blame the man who spoke the judgment. It was God doing the work, and man was just the mouthpiece. God has authority to chasten people who are trying to destroy his body. Okay, we won't stop there. Has anybody got any question or any comments? That's a lot of stuff there. what the Lord is teaching everybody is to obey the authority in the church. Go ahead, Joe.
I think this last section is just really kind of, I mean, lately, you know, in my life, and I began to finally understand that. I mean, I've been in those situations in the past where just someone, not so much an elder, I guess, or I mean, maybe even, I mean, I've never had really true spiritual elders, or I mean, godly elders, I guess you could say, you know, from when I was going through the churches, and you know, the apostate churches and all that stuff. So, I mean, that just... I was probably one of many people causing issues. I mean, whenever I did, but I think now this kind of really spoke to me and I understood, you know, because I mean, I agree. Yeah. When you're given over to the devil to be corrected, you know, that's like if you would say that that's like a last resort, you know, it seems like nothing else works. So, I mean, it is effective. So I would agree. I mean, when you're given over and he gives you a good beating, you know, and you eventually realize, wow, okay, I was wrong. You know, I need to repent here. Oh, I mean, yeah, I can attest personally, it does work. So, but now, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, yeah, that kind of spoke to me a bit. I thought, wow, yeah, I mean, and at the time I was always wondering, what am I doing wrong? What's the problem here? Because, you know, I thought nothing of it. When someone would approach me, I just would be like, oh, what? I don't understand. What am I doing wrong? But then now it just kind of spoke to me like, yeah, you know, if you're coming against somebody or whatever exactly you're doing, you know, to cause harm, the only thing wise to do is just correct you. And if you're not going to be corrected, then let God, you know, stick the demons on you, you know, to deal with you. And yeah, I mean, it works. So yeah, I want to say personally, I've seen that in my own life. I mean, I don't think so much. I mean, it was an elder probably doing that, but I guess, I mean, not that I know of, but I can look at it, you know, and say, yeah, I mean, when you're under that curse and you're not repentant, when the demons come upon you, they do a great work, you know, they do a great work of getting you to stop and think, yeah, I'm in the wrong here and I need to change. So yeah.
Amen. Okay, anybody else? The thing about, and just like David was talking about here, you don't turn somebody over to the devil indiscriminately. You wait, and the Lord will give you the instruction to do that. That comes from the Lord all the time, I should say. Go ahead, Dave.
I would say that would probably go through an elder turning over to Satan, probably more so than just anybody to do it. It's not going to be, it'll be for a body purpose, you know, for like David was talking to make them, whoever, have a respect for authority in the church. I personally, you know, I wouldn't want to be the one saying, okay, you've been turned over to the devil, you know, to do something like that. Would just be, you know, like, yeah, you know, if the Lord doesn't say anything like that, you don't want to be the one saying it. That's for sure. That's a bad place to be, because that's what factious people will do. And they're trying to put word curses on people, you know, by doing that. So, you know, that's probably... Yeah, if you aren't really hearing it from the Lord, I would definitely get some confirmation that's from the Lord, because otherwise you don't want that coming out of your mouth. That, you know, definitely an elder for sure. And even them, like Michael would think, that's probably, you know, we're going to make sure the Lord said that. We're not going to just jump on that one.
Amen. Go ahead, Andrew.
You know, Peter said, he that calleth you is holy, be therefore holy in all with all your behavior. So it's amazing what can happen to a person if you're not behaving properly in front of the spirit-filled people and elders. So you have to love your brethren, you know. And even like with other people, it does say, you know, according to the scriptures, you got to honor all men, love the brethren, fear God, honor the king. Even if it's Jesus had to go through with what Herod and Pontius Pilate said. And, you know, and that was his outcome. And, you know, I've been watching some of the persecuted church on the internet. They show some stuff, not a lot, but I saw a church. It was in a country, and they just were demolishing this church they were trying to build, and they tipped it over and everything, and there was like over 500 people that were going to attend that church. That was the end of their building. You know, they left just the foundation with rubble. And that's what happened to them. They're back to square one, however they used to do it before. But, you know, we don't know the full story, because why would God do that? Maybe it was supposed to be built in a different spot or something, or a different area, or maybe they want them to do outside services or whatever. Hard to say.
Amen. Well, that you know, we may be talking two different things here. We're talking discipline in the church to keep a church together, rather than allowing faction inside the church. And the elders have the responsibility to protect the church, and in doing so, and if they go to whoever it is that's creating problems, and they just keep on doing it, keep on disobeying, and they may even leave, but they continually hound the people in the church. You know, they are come against the people in the church. Then it's time to have the devil go ahead and do his work on them, so they quit doing it, could quit hindering the church or the fellowship, whatever. And that's it has to happen sometime. That's not a good thing to do, but you better make sure it's the Lord doing it, not you. Like Dave was talking about. But we have to keep the church clean. Very important.
Yep. Okay. I'm trying to find that one part in Acts where Paul turned that one man over to Satan for a few days. He went blind while he was trying to speak the word. And he just did it right off, because the guy was being evil. He was evil, you know, coming against Paul, and he was trying to give the gospel.
You talking about that sorcerer?
Yes.
Yeah.
He did it on the spot to that guy.
He said, "You ain't gonna see from this time for a season." Didn't that what he said?
Yeah, just for a season, and then he's walking around blind and asking somebody to help him find his way around, you know, and it got the ruler's attention at that point. Like, oh, here's some authority, here's something, you know, something beyond normal that nobody else can do, you know. And so that, and then he was, the ruler listened to Paul more intently and got the word of the Lord from that, and everybody else in that room. So for that one moment of time, that Paul turned that person over to Satan, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, and that was right. But he also No, you go ahead.
I would say sometimes I'm thinking, like we were talking about John last time, and I was thinking about this after we got done talking about it, and we see Paul also. You know, we think these people are just jumping out and doing that, but I'm pretty sure this also is probably inspiration of the Holy Spirit when they speak out like this. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is God speaking through them to do this, you know, at that moment. They get they may come out and say it, and they're full force when they're doing something and accomplishing God's will. But that's the Lord behind them pushing that, getting that, you know, making that happen right at that moment. Because John the Baptist was, I said he was outspoken, but he was filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, he wasn't just doing this thing on his own. He was speaking for the Lord, paving the way for Jesus. And the same thing with Paul. Here, Paul is out there plowing the fields. You know, he's doing the work of the Lord, full of Holy Spirit. So when these things come out and they make these pronouncements, that's probably a heavily anointing of the Holy Spirit, just like we see with Stephen and everything else.
Amen. Go ahead, Andrew. I'll get back here with Joe just a second. Oh, you didn't have none, Andrew? Okay, go ahead, Joe. Yeah.
Yeah, that actually brought up a question, what you said, Dave, about John the Baptist. I never really studied, I guess, the Holy Spirit and how he acted in the Old Testament compared to the New Testament. Is there a scripture, I guess, that says, speaking of John the Baptist, he came before the Holy Spirit, came. Is there a clear scripture saying he was full of the Holy Spirit? Or, I guess, is it just kind of, assumed, I guess, he was full of the Holy Spirit?
That's it does say that in the scriptures. And also David, the Holy Spirit came on David, King David also.
Yeah, okay.
So you don't see, but the difference is, you see, in the Old Testament, he'd come on individuals when he had a group, a leader. He was going to be doing something through. But he didn't come upon the whole population like he does now.
Okay, yeah, I think I remember hearing something like he would, like you said, in the Old Testament, he would come upon people. And then, but on the, I think what I've, was taught within the New Testament, he would come within people, So, that was the distinct difference, I guess. So, okay, that makes sense. Or did you want to say something, Michael?
Well, I forgot, but yeah, I was going to make a clarification there, but I can't remember what it was. Go ahead, Greg.
Luke 1:15, actually, Joe. Well, he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Amen. Okay. All right. Thanks. Amen.
As far as his great, go ahead, Andrew.
Well, when Mary went to go see Elizabeth, that's when it happened. The babe left within her womb.
Babe leaped in the womb. And as far as John's greatness, go ahead, Greg.
I've just did a bit of a search on the word womb because I knew it was there somewhere. And it came to pass when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost.
Whole family got filled up. Praise God. Mom and baby too.
Well, isn't that when Elizabeth, she spoke out? She was speaking out then through the Lord.
Yeah. All right, Will, go ahead, brother.
I think this chapter made me think about, remember a few years ago when you guys were handed over, not for the destruction of your flesh, unfortunately, but the witchcraft scenario. Where you, I think David fell off a ladder, and then you guys realized that you were given over by people in wrongfully and in ignorance, and then you guys broke that, and now they're all paying the penalties for that witchcraft. And you know, when I started, I think this is very close to what Dave was saying, doing it wrongfully, you know. I remember as a baby Christian, you read those scriptures and you don't really understand forgiveness. And you don't really understand that you cannot, it's not for everyone to do, it's for mature Christians. You can't do it in personal unforgiveness, but you've got something against someone. And luckily, the Lord spared me from, you know, you're very prideful. You think that is for everyone. You can just do it, you know, if you don't like someone, and then you'll do it in so much ignorance, you know, you'll have a personal vendetta, and then you'll just hand someone over, and you won't even realize that you're a witch. And it just changed so much for me, going through that and listening to that, and that the biggest witches aren't the Sangomas and the voodoos and the, you know, the biggest witches are church witches that are practicing these sort of witchcrafts in Christ's name. I wonder how strong they are, but luckily the Lord gave us authority over them to also break. I gave you authority over all the power of the enemy, and just to know how to break that. And I'm just thankful the Lord spared me from ever doing any witchcraft. Luckily, I saw the scripture, but I never put it into practice or felt that I have had the authority to do it. Nowadays, I warn all the young Christians I see about not. And please don't get involved with that. You're not really, be careful to hand someone over. If your minister is doing that, make sure that it's not impersonal vendetta. That you are spiritual enough to do it, that you aren't, that you are holy enough, and that you've asked the Lord for like several signs to make sure that it is the Lord's will that you are to partake, if even under leadership in an activity where someone is to be handed over. I think the whole thing with David was amazing for it just gave us me so much fear for the Lord, and to know that you've got to be so careful.
Amen. Well, that's true. Praise God. That's been good. Well, looked like we're out of time. Y'all marked the spot there. Okay, we'll start there Tuesday night. Yeah, witchcraft, like Will was saying, is done by apostate church members. And they don't realize they're doing it. They just think they're praying to God when they're praying curses on people. You know, we've had that happen. We've been warned by the Lord that that's happening, and we've cast them all down, and God's been merciful to us. You know, just here a few days ago, maybe a week or so ago, people were having trouble with things going on with their vehicles and phones and this kind of stuff. Well, we broke that curse. The Lord told us it was witchcraft, people praying against us, and we broke that curse, and there's no more problem. Yeah, Will, go ahead.
I just wanted to say, there's levels of spirituality, and if someone is highly spiritual in the Word, and you notice that they're angry and they're unforgiving, is it safe to say they'll definitely be bewitching you? Can we agree on that? If they know the Word and all the things there, and they're very spiritual, and they've got a lot of faith, but they're unforgiving and angry, you got to know they're going to be bewitching you. Can we agree on that, or am I wrong?
No, they're praying not to God because they're in sin. And what they're doing, they don't realize that they're sending demons out to do the nasty work. And then all we have to do is come against it.
Hmm. Yeah, if you're in unforgiveness and like that, you're walking in darkness, the Lord says.
Yeah. He said, you're outside the house. So just be very careful with your walk. But Lord, we thank you for this great time tonight. We're learning a lot, Lord. We praise you, Father, for maturing each and every one of us. And even those out there that listen, Father, we thank you for maturing everyone and getting a great spiritual understanding about the forgiveness and unforgiveness in our lives and where it places us in the kingdom. And Lord, we praise you and we glorify you for bringing us all into that realm of forgiveness always, where we learn to turn the other cheek and to bless people rather than curse them. And Lord, we thank you for that work you're doing in each one of us. And I ask and I pray, Father, that you give everybody here that's listening a good night's sleep tonight. Psalms 127:2, sleep. You said you're going to give your beloved some good sleep, and I'm going to take it, Lord, because I'm one of your beloved. In Jesus' name, and I believe everybody else is too. And we thank you, Lord, for protecting us throughout the weekend. And we praise you and we glorify you for bringing us all into that holiness realm that you want us all to walk in. And it can only be accomplished by having faith in you to sanctify us and bless us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, glory be to God. Let me get everybody unmuted here. Well, good night, y'all.
All right, good night, everybody. God bless.